Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. This I tell
714, 41, and fair skies right now, high up into the 70s, which will be great. But right now, it's bright and shiny because Joe and Cindy Farini are with us with My Marriage Matters. Good morning, you two.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. Did you have a good Easter?
Wonderful. Thank you. How about you?
It was great. We've got leftovers, so I can just say it was a perfect day.
We sent all of ours out. Uh-oh.
Wow. Right. No, I didn't. I kept them all. Boy, I need to pray about that, I guess. So you guys got a really heavy question this week. Can you give us of your take on what the situation is?
Well, I'm just going to read what they wrote, and we don't know if it's a man or a woman, and that really doesn't make a difference, but I think it's pretty awful. It says, I am married to a fool. I am not making fun. I am serious. It is an awful marriage, and my spouse is awful. There is no infidelity that I'm aware of, but my spouse is mean-spirited, says unkind things to me all the time, is always right, dismisses me and my ideas, ignores me, makes fun of me, laughs at me publicly and even more privately, and I feel the way I'm dismissed, that I am invisible. My spouse is totally indifferent to me, my ideas, my words, me. It's humiliating and hurtful. I'm tired of it, and I don't know what to do.
Oof. I mean,
my
it's
heart just
exhaustive.
Breaks to read that.
Yeah. Really, I mean, and even one of those things could be heartbreaking. I've heard people say, I feel invisible in my marriage. And you just kind of go, oh.
Right.
But this list just keeps going and going and going. So your first reaction, you said, is it's horrible.
Well, when I first read that, I was just appalled. I think anybody would be. And I often, in these situations, I put myself in this situation, whether if it were my marriage or if it were one of my daughter's marriages. And from that aspect is, I think, partially where we get some of our answers, of course, scripturally as well. But I feel like this is a marriage that is really not a marriage, actually. I don't think it's a marriage that is two people working together to make it a better marriage.
Joe, what was your gut reaction when you saw this?
Well, my first reaction, of course, is that this is a very abusive situation. And, of course, any type of abuse is never acceptable in whatever the relationship might be. And clearly, both need to get into some counseling individually and as a couple. And if they're not agreeable to counseling, then I think in this particular case, separation might be an advisable way to take in the next course of action. Again, but we don't know the spiritual condition of these people, and there's many, many different layers to this situation. So it would take some time to really to begin to break down what was the origin of this thing. I mean, was it like this in their dating, their engagement as well? At what point in time did this begin to become a lifestyle that really began to cause the problems that they're experiencing today?
And you know, Joe, I appreciate your boldness in saying that separation may be in order, because you know, we as Christians are afraid to say things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But in cases where there's abuse, God hates abuse, and He wants people
Absolutely.
To be safe emotionally, spiritually, physically. So it sounds to me like you're not afraid to say separation if it's warranted.
Well, I think the overriding issue here is one of safety. And I know Cindy, you know, she has a lot to say about that whole issue here, but I would be concerned for the, well, I'm just going to say this is the woman saying this thing, just to make it easy for us.
Sure.
And I would say that's my number one concern for this woman would be to make sure that she is able to mobilize at a drop of a dime to some place of safety. And because this type of abuse is never acceptable at any time. And so I think separation is indicated. We didn't say divorce. We said separation. And if somehow this individual can see the benefit of them staying together, then that would be a worthwhile thing for them to do, to separate. But this is where separation can be beneficial in this situation.
Yeah. And but, you know, I think one of the challenges is in situations with this kind of extreme response – you know, sometimes the abuser is not even interested in counseling. I won't even do it. What do you do then?
Yeah, I think that's really true. And there's another aspect of this too, that if she stays, since we're saying she, if she stays, this doesn't seem to me like it's just going to go away. It's going to escalate. And if it escalates, as Joe was saying, then there's a real concern about safety. And actually, there was someone in our life a number of years ago that we were mentoring. We are not counselors, that we were mentoring. And I would say this pretty much covered it. And my suggestion to her, although her husband never hit her or did anything physically abusive, he was horribly emotionally abusive. And my suggestion to her was to have, and this was before I read the book by Leslie Vernick, The Emotionally Destructive Marriage, which you know that we bring this up like in these cases all the time. Mm-hmm. But my suggestion to her was to make sure that you and the children had something in the car, that you had clothes to change to, medications, important documents or information, that if you had to flee quickly and you could get into your car, that you would have something in your car that you could go to a shelter or someone's home. But you know, my thing is, how could you even stay in this home and be treated this way daily, moment to moment, and you don't know what to expect next? It's like a bomb's ready to go off. And so there's so much to this question, certainly more than 10 minutes is ever going to cover, but you know, safety is certainly the most important thing here.
And, you know, I'd love to even spend a minute on a degree of this, a measure of it. I've encountered people who in their marriage would say something like, you know, I feel invisible. Not all the other things with it, but they just mm-hmm. feel invisible. How would you even begin to address somebody facing just one of these things?
Well, you know, I think an issue that you're talking about here is just the issue of indifference in a marriage relationship. And it's clearly one of the opposite words for love is indifference. And, you know, we're clearly lacking loyalty in this relationship. And we're dealing with the issue here. Again, we're dealing with the superficial issue. It's a serious issue, clearly. But there's a basic root problem here that is not being addressed. Again, if we're just dealing with symptoms, we're never going to get to the cause. Yeah. And I think what we're dealing with here is an issue of lack of loyalty in this marriage relationship. So I think that is where we need to go if we're really going to get some long-term resolution here. And I mean, no one wants to be disregarded or thrown right to the curb by anybody. And so there's a history here that we just don't know all about what's going on here. So
yeah,
and let's need no more.
Yeah, and let's go back to the vows. How many of these vows that we took on our wedding day are being disregarded? And that's, you know, that's another aspect, because we took vows before God and man to cherish the person that we are marrying, to love them, to honor them, to cherish them. And so, you know, as Leslie Vernick says, she says, you cannot hold your marriage together all by yourself, even if you choose to stay living in the same house. And she says, marriage does not give someone a get-out-of-jail-free card that entitles a husband or wife to lie, mistreat, ignore, be cruel, or crush his or her spouse's God-given dignity without any consequences.
Yeah. All right. Amen. And you know, even to smaller degrees, I will tell you, I find it surprising how often I've encountered a couple where someone might confide in me and go, oh, you know, my spouse makes me feel bad when they use sarcasm or whatever. I go, hey, did you ever tell him that? They go, no. I mean, sometimes it's as simple as saying hard things in lesser degrees. I'm not saying this specific situation, but do you two hear that a lot too when teaching on marriage?
Yeah. You know, there's nothing spiritual about sweeping things under the rug.
Right.
And, thankfully, when the Bible says, blessed are the meek, it doesn't end by saying, for they are pushovers. And that same thing applies in a marriage relationship as well. And so I think if you are not willing to engage in a confrontation, you're not going to resolve this issue. And again, this is the seriousness of this, is that it does escalate. It doesn't get better. And, you know, and just hoping and praying that this just goes away is not going to be it's not going to resolve the problem.
Yeah.
I mean, we all believe in the importance of prayer. I don't want to disregard that, of course. But the reality is that there is something here that has to be confronted head on. And just, again, sweeping it under the rug is not going to make it go away.
It's 7:24, almost time to say goodbye. I want to be sure, though, Cindy, you can get some final thoughts, and I know you have them, so go for
it. Yeah, thank you. You know, Leslie talks about, in her book, Leslie Vernick's book, she talks about the difference between a disappointing marriage and a destructive marriage, and I think that's really important. You know, your comment to, okay, so what if the spouse uses sarcasm? Well, that could be very disappointing, but it doesn't necessarily have to be destructive. It might be. But I think when in her book, The Emotionally Destructive Marriage, she lays out such a great pattern of what is really a destructive marriage. And so throughout the book, she also teaches the one who is being abused emotionally how to strengthen their core, how to confront the other person in a loving way. And then in the end of the book, how to make a decision whether or not you are going to stay in that marriage. And she says you have choices not only on what actions to take, but also what attitudes you embrace. Mm-hmm. And she finalizes things by certainly giving a great appendix for resources for help. It's really thorough. But I love that she also recognizes this. She says you must come to terms with the reality that whether you stay or whether you leave, there will be people who will believe you made the wrong choice and will have no reservations telling you so. And I just think this is a situation where certainly we're not going to cover it in this short time, but this woman or man needs to go to counseling, maybe by themselves first, and get a real feel for where they're at in this marriage. And honestly, when I read this, this really troubles me because I feel like there's a desperation here. Yeah. And I would want this person to go get counseling. And if they need to separate while they work through this very difficult marriage, and maybe not only just difficult and disappointing, but also destructive, then I think they should be apart while they get the help that is needed. Because the other aspect of this is that children may be watching. And are you telling your children this is what you should expect in your marriage?
Amen. Yeah. I tell you what, it's 7:26. Time flies when you're hanging out with the Farinis. So if you'd like to get more information, first of all, I'll tell you the book. I've had a couple people text. It's called The Emotionally Destructive Marriage, The Emotionally Destructive Marriage by Leslie Vernick. Again, Leslie Vernick, just Google it. You'll find it right away. Trust me, multiple sources. If you want to find out more about the Farinis, you can go to My Marriage Matters on Facebook, or you could also go to joefarini.com or cindyfarini.com. Thanks again, you two. I always appreciate your advice.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Have a great day.